Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This afternoon, I am going to be discussing just one aspect of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be focusing on the rapture or the snatching out of the Church of Jesus Christ. And this aspect of eschatology. The term eschatology means the last things or the doctrine of last things. Indeed, the Apostle Paul uses the term eschaton to refer to the time in which you and I live. You and I live in the eschaton, that is, between the already and the not yet. And that time began at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and will continue to the end of the church, this particular age or ion, which is called the church age, which is going to end in a great falling away or apostasy. Paul talks about this great apostasy, and it is important that you and I as saints understand the doctrine of eschatology. So there are asked, if one is to have a thorough understanding of eschatology, then one must be conversant with the eschatology that is taught in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, particularly in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. And in the New Testament, the book of Revelation. It is not Revelations, plural. It is the book of Revelation. These two are companion books. And so I want to emphasize that at the beginning of the show. These are companion books. So in the Gospel of Matthew, one must read the Olivet Discourse, which is in Matthew chapter 24. Also, chapter 25 is important too. But in order to understand eschatology and what the Bible teaches about eschatology, we have to unpack these doctrines. And in order to understand what God is telling us, there's also personal eschatology, which has to do with the individual, his existence, which also embraces just the life of the person. So that's personal eschatology. Here we're dealing with cosmic eschatology. And I want you to understand something that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that is hidden in the English text. So I'm going to read it to you now because I really want you to get this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 3, this is what Paul writes. 1 Corinthians 4, 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Now in the Greek, the word that comes after the word man's, and it is translated judgment, in the Greek it is man's day. This is man's day. So Paul makes that distinction. It is a very important eschatological distinction that he makes. Man's day. He uses the term anthropos. which is gender inclusive, male and female. This is man's day. This is man's time. Now, if you return to 1 Corinthians 5:5, Paul writes this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. So, verse 5 reads, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Old Testament in the book of Joel and other books talks about the day of the Lord. But here, notice the distinction that Paul makes between the day of man, and here in 1 Corinthians 5:5, the day of the Lord Jesus. So this day of man will come to an end. Now let me tell you, in 1 John, there are verses that I'm going to be speaking about, not in this show, but in a coming show, in which we read in the grammar that this age is being caused to pass away by God. The age is not going to just flitter on or collapse on its own. Indeed, this age is going to collapse, but it is being caused to collapse by God. God is directing the events of the last days. And God is causing this age to close and to pass away. Now, this is something that in the day of hubris, that is man's day, that will not be discussed. If you can find books by C.S. Lewis, please read. He has a piece called Men Without Chests. Very, very important. Mere Christianity, read Mere Christianity. That will help give you a great understanding about what Paul means by man's day, man's time. So now, and when we move on and we go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3, this is what Paul writes. And I'm going to start at verse 1 of chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, speaking of the church, okay, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, that is frightened, either by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter asked from us, as that here, and here's the term that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 5:5, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Again, the day of Christ represents a distinctive eschatological event. Let no man deceive you by any means. And so here it means to seduce wholly. To wholly seduce you. Now, these words are important because there are preachers who are telling people that the day of Christ is not going to happen. There are preachers, and they are false teachers. In the Greek, they are called pseudo-didaskaloi. Pseudo-didaskaloi. They are false teachers who deny the second coming. Now, be mindful of the fact that these individuals have neither the background nor the credentials, nor the academic credentials to make such statements. And so they make their a priori statement. Well, they make their ad hominem statements, okay, to individuals they perceive are spiritually inferior and who don't have the training to challenge them. And so they say these specious things. not based on any scholarship, not based on any reputable scholarship, or where they produce, I mean, their answers, and they tell people, well, this is what I have arrived at through my scholarly study. No, it is merely ad hominem. That is argument to the man. It is emotion. It is opinion only. So Paul goes on, let no man deceive you wholly by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, this falling away is where it speaks of the great apostasy. Now, no, people are not going to leave the local churches. But what will happen is that individuals will remain in local churches, but and this word means to stand off from, they will deny the redemptive teachings of the Bible. They will deny, they will stand off from the historic teaching of the church. Okay? And so this is the great apostasy. They will continue to go to church. Remember, when Jeremiah gave his great temple sermon, God told him to go and stand in the courtyard of the temple as people were streaming inside the temple to worship. And Jeremiah was calling them to repentance. But they kept up the external appearance of serving God. And here we have the same situation. There will be the external appearance of serving God. But in their hearts, these individuals stand off from the historic redemptive doctrine. Jesus died for sinners. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, the resurrection of Jesus, the existence of hell, and the judgments. They will stand off from these teachings. They will not. They will praise God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. So Paul wants believers to know that Jesus is coming again, and that this is a very powerful doctrine. It is important that believers understand that despite what men say, God is not a liar. Please read the book of Titus chapter 1. God is not man that he should lie. God cannot lie. It is antithetical to the divine essence to lie. We see within the Word of God the eternal veracity of God. God is truth. And Jesus said, I am the Hodas, I am the way, the road, I am the truth, Aletheia, and I am the life, Zoe. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. And so it is imperative that believers get grounded in the Word, that believers understand that indeed Jesus Christ is coming again for his own. He is coming for his church. And neither Satan, nor the demonic hosts, nor the pseudo-intellectuals who say that Jesus is not coming again can stop him. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.